This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to NL Hafta.
अंग्रेज अपना लगान और न्यूज लॉन्ड्री अपना हफ्ता कभी नहीं छोड़ते. वेलकम टू हफ्ता व्हेन वी आर रिकॉर्डिंग ऑन अ वेडनेसडे एट 4:30 इन द आफ्टरनून. एंड दिस इज बिकॉज टुमारो इज अ वेरी बिजी डे फॉर अ वैरायटी ऑफ रीजंस. मोस्ट इम्पॉर्टेंटली बिकॉज आर मैनेजिंग एडिटर मनीषा इज बैक फ्रॉम अ हॉलीडे.
हेलो.
विद अ हेयर कट. प्लीज नोटिस. एज हु वाज इट, शरद यादव और मुलायम सिंह, हु हैड सेड परकटी? व्हाट वाज दैट, रिमेंबर दैट होल थिंग? Who I forget.
Mulayam Singh.
No, I think it was Sharad Yadav.
Was
it Parkati Mahila?
Haan, Parkati Mahila. He had said, basically, he had a problem with women who have haircuts. So, is what I gathered. But, so she's back and, but it has been, Manisha, a very hectic week of news. I don't know whether you've been following news or during holidays, do you disconnect?
Well, yeah, I really wanted to disconnect, but then there's so much.
Too tempting.
Yeah, it was just, the arrest, especially Kejriwal's arrest, I think was hard to not read on it and follow what was happening.
So Manisha is back, also in the studio, editor-in-chief Raman Kripal. Welcome.
Hello.
Raman sir. And joining us on the Zoom connection is Dr. Aishwarya Rao. Welcome, Dr. Rao.
Hi.
Hi. So you are a public health consultant and pediatrician. You have also been a Carnatic, I don't know how you pronounce this because many people say Carnatic, but I'm thinking they're giving an accent.
Carnatic.
I say Carnatic because that sounds very Indian,
Carnatic.
But I don't know what.
Carnatic.
Very
no?
So it sounds very Punjabi.
Carnatic.
So.
Carnatic. Carnatic Cafe.
Doing well there.
You know Carnatic Cafe in Delhi.
Okay. So she's a producer with multiple albums that she's produced, and she's also the founder of the not for profit Better World Shelter for Women with Disabilities. So thank you for coming and thank you for all the work you do.
It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Great. Now we will get into the headlines and then discuss something that has, you know, it just started off with what I thought was a small disagreement, but it's exploded into, you know, really big mainstream news, which is DM Krishna's,
award
that he was given. And we will get a little more understanding of it.
Opposition to that award.
Yeah, my understanding on this is limited. So Dr. Rao can tell us a little more about that and what is the significance, etc. But I'll start off with the appeal that our election fund, which the News Minute and News Laundry will jointly be covering. Two of the projects have been topped up. So thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Because the second project got topped up last weekend. I'm hoping that at least two more can get topped up this weekend. And if you go to the News Laundry app or if you go to the News Laundry website, you will see there is a button called Election Fund. And in that, there are four budgets given. One is another election show where Manisha, Atul and Dhanya will be traveling and giving you on-ground reports and, you know, the buzz of what's happening with local journalists. That's a very popular show because usually it's just journalists sitting in Delhi telling us what's happening. They go to the city and get local journalists to tell us. Then there's one project called Gendered Polls, which is 47 crore women are eligible to vote in this general election, and they'll possibly outnumber their male counterparts in elections to come. Modi's return hinges on that vote. So we'll be doing several reports and analysis on that. Then ground reports from battleground states, which is Bihar, Bengal, Maharashtra, and Karnataka. And poll watchdogs, which is big ads, you know, what the media's role has been in this. So I'm hoping you guys top it up. While I'm recording this, it is the media watchdog, which is most close to being topped up. And the one that's furthest is the one on battleground states. So please do contribute because we don't take any ads. And there's one thing that the electoral bond story has taught us, which Raman sir's team, Supriya's team at Scroll and Dhanya's team at News Minute did such a fantastic job on. There could not be a clearer quid pro quo. Big corporations are taking loans from banks, you know, defaulting on their loans and giving money to political parties. It is bizarre, the kind of stuff that's happening. Someone is getting a contract for infrastructure, you know, project for 2,000 crores and giving a couple of hundred crores to the ruling party. It is just bizarre. And this is in an environment where even news is being funded by these very corporations. So unless you fund news, you know, there's no point in claiming that we are this democracy with very robust institutions, because news is one of the most important aspects of a democracy. And that is completely hijacked by government ads and those who are giving money to the governments and to news, then what's left?
And so, the nuisance team tells me that there has been no debate on this. Most of the prominent primetime anchors have not done shows on electoral bonds.
Yeah, they are debating.
We did two stories on.
They are debating a tweet about Kangana Ranaut.
Yes.
Yeah, imagine.
that has taken in one night 6 primetime debates, but the obvious quid pro quo that is shown in these bonds, no one took it up.
The only discussions that they say did happen was on DMK. How much money DMK?
Yeah.
So that was one.
So do contribute. So thank you so much. Hafta continues to be free for a couple of weeks. I'm not sure whether it's going to be free this week also. So do contribute. With that, Manisha will give us the headlines and then you shall continue with the discussion with Dr. Rao.
Aam Aadmi Party Chief and Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal was arrested by the Enforcement Directorate in connection to the Delhi Excise Policy case. Following his arrest, Delhi Minister Atishi said Kejriwal will continue to remain the Chief Minister. There's been some kind of controversy around that, whether he should continue or not. His wife, meanwhile, has given 2 press conferences.
They are legally weighing it, whether he can be or he cannot be. But in the meanwhile, he's given 2 instructions from the jail.
But now we have 2 chief ministers in jail, Hemant Soren and Arvind Kejriwal. The Election Commission of India on Thursday published the complete electoral bond data given to it by the State Bank of India on orders of the Supreme Court. This included bond numbers that helped donors to be matched with the political parties they donated to. BRS leader K. Kavita was taken to Tihar jail after a Delhi court on Tuesday sent her to judicial custody till April 9th in connection with the Delhi excise policy linked money laundering case. In fact, in the electoral bond stories, I read one story that we did that one of the approvers had also donated to the BJP.
Yes.
In the Delhi excise policy case.
Yes.
Climate activist Sonam Wangchuk has ended his fast in Leh after 21 days. The protest was aimed at demanding inclusion of Ladakh in the 6th schedule of the constitution and statehood for the region. The fast, though, has not ended. It's the first phase of the fast. Yeah. And now women will
for
protest and
taking turns.
Fast for 10 days.
For 10 days, yeah.
Carnatic singer T.M. Krishna is being conferred with the prestigious Sangeeta Kalanidhi title by the Madras Music Academy at its 2024 conference. This sparked a sort of a controversy. 2 musicians, Rajni and Gayatri, have resolved to boycott the conference in protest of Krishna, who's a vocal critic of Sangh Parivar. In their letter, they wrote that, you know, how he's demeaned our tradition, he's said anti-Brahmin stuff, he's eulogize Periyar and stuff like that. Then the academy also shot back a letter saying that we stand by our resolve to, so we can have a longer discussion on this. Now, lots of 2024 election related stories. The BJP released its 5th list of candidates for the upcoming Lok Sabha election. Justice Abhijit Gangopadhyay, who resigned from the Calcutta High Court and joined the BJP, has been quickly given a party ticket from Tamluk constituency in West Bengal. Kangana Ranaut's long audition to become the member of parliament finally finally, she's got the role of her lifetime. She's going to be contesting from Mandi.
In fact, it's interesting, the graphic that Akash Banerjee, Deshbhakt, put out of her last 10 films and the box office collections.
Yeah, they've all tanked.
So now, clearly, election is a good, politics is a good option.
And
now,
there's been a lot of controversy around that also, because Supriya Srinath of Congress and Mrinal Pandey, who's a senior journalist, made some comments about her and Mandi, which were pretty unsavory to my mind. But that became quite a bit of news.
But we must clarify that she claims that it was not the official, because it wasn't her, it was the official Congress handle.
It was her official handle. But she says that her team members did it, and some heads have rolled within her team.
Right.
And she deleted it. Hmm. So Naveen Jindal is going to be contesting from Kurukshetra. He's joined the BJP.
That was quick.
Very difficult times for Sudhir Chaudhary. Kerala BJP President K. Surendran will be the party candidate against Rahul Gandhi in Wayanad constituency. Meanwhile, Menaka Gandhi will continue to contest elections from Sultanpur. Her son Varun Gandhi has been dropped from Pilibhit. The Congress has also announced more candidates. They fielded UP Congress President Ajay Rai from Varanasi to contest against Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Rajya Sabha MP Digvijay Singh has been fielded from Rajgarh and former BSP leader Danish Ali from Amroha. The Karnataka government on Saturday moved the Supreme Court, alleging that the centre had not extended financial assistance to the state for drought management. And there's a lot of centre versus state headlines. After this, we've had the Kerala government moving the Supreme Court against President Murmu for withholding assent to state bills. And in Tamil Nadu, Governor R. N. Ravi finally had to listen to the Supreme Court and administer oath to K. Ponmudi as state minister. This was a day after Chief Justice of India, Justice Chandrachur slammed him for defying the Supreme Court.
In fact,
he was given 24 hours.
Yeah, otherwise he said he'll be forced to put contempt. This, Ravi is one of the most bizarre.
Brazen.
Yeah, shameless governors.
Shameless.
Even by the low standards that governors have set historically.
Candidates from left groups on Sunday swept the Jawaharlal Nehru University student union election, with the United Left winning three posts and Birsa Ambedkar Phule Students Association emerging victorious on one seat.
No, this woman who won general secretary, she is fighting on different party. Student party, and their candidate was dropped. The left parties.
Yeah.
So left parties, they decided to back her
because, and their candidate was dropped at some 2 a.m. or something when they were just a few hours left for the
yes.
But the funny thing is that some of our wonderful news channels were running tickers that, ABVP sweeps JNU before general election. Is this what Char Sau Paar looks like, etc., etc.?
They won by huge margin.
And they didn't even win one seat. Our news channels have just gone insane. They'll just run anything.
See, in a poll where you have just 3,000 votes and you win by 900 votes, it's a huge margin.
Mm,
900 is huge.
Yeah.
Right.
A day after the centre notified a fact-checking unit under the Press Information Bureau to identify fake news about the government, the Supreme Court stayed the operation of the notification. This will be until the Bombay High Court takes a final decision on petitions challenging the 2023 amendment to the IT rules.
And the problem with this is that the government will decide who is telling the truth about their own policies. So technically the fact-checking, and because of the history of this whole PIB fact-check and NewsRound has done a story... They pillow anything to
inconvenient is fake, basically. And Kunal Kamra was one of the key petitioners in this. No? Over 130 people were killed in Moscow on Friday after gunmen opened fire inside a concert hall with automatic weapons. Terrorist organization Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attack.
But Putin is saying, no, it's Ukraine is involved. They're saying, no, we've done it. No, you have it. Ukraine is involved. So that's what the news is. Now, coming to what's happening in the world of Carnatic music. Dr. Rao, could you just tell us, A, what is the controversy about, the history of this organization which is conferring the award? And is it, such a big political issue in the world of Carnatic music? Or is it just noise because of some people who want to ingratiate themselves in front of the right-wing government or whatever it is?
I think the latter is true. It is not a big deal at all. For a long time, the controversy erupted 10 days ago. And Manisha just briefed what it was about. No, but I'll go into a little bit more detail. Initially, we from the fringes, we were just watching. It is an intra-Brahmin musician, rivalry. Not rivalry. It is a dispute between two groups within the thing. Mm. One who... are holding on to the hegemony, those who don't want progress, those who don't want to share Carnatic music with anyone, who keep it away from the common man. That's one group. And the other group, whose leading voice has been T.M. Krishna over the years. He wants to take Carnatic music, to the common masses so that everyone can enjoy. So now coming to the history of the Music Academy, it was set up, in 1927. It was part of some big Congress conference. At the conference, there were some deliberations and recommendations, and they said, we have to propagate Carnatic music. So they set it up. It started in halls, but soon it grew into this worldwide December festival. And they say that the December Margali is the Tamil month of December. Margali festival is the largest cultural event in the world. People come, a whole month long, people come from all over the world and, but it is, revelatory to this whole issue itself is that most of the attendees at the festival belong to one particular class and caste. So that's how exclusive the, Carnatic fraternity kept this art form to itself.
Achha. It was a very the Brahmins own it, Brahmins listen to it, Brahmins say, wow, that's it. And
they
will
teach only to Brahmins.
Okay.
And they will enjoy it. The Rasikas will be Brahmins. the sabhas are run by the Brahmins and the exponents are Brahmins. Now, there are outliers. There are some very few non-Brahmins that actually breach this and go inside, but they are not famous. They're not big. Actually, most don't. They don't get chances to sing at these sabhas. So we have something over the past several years. We are having the alternate to Margali, you know, Margali in Makkali, say, the common man's music in Margali. So that happens in parks and in, you know, other sabhas. We have folk arts. And so there's this other movement going on. So these two worlds never blend, you know. Those people live in their own worlds and they talk a lot about it. And, the you know, news media, papers, everything are owned by that caste and class. So there's a lot more noise you hear about it. So the whole dichotomy is this. For a long time, all of us, we said, you know, it doesn't matter to us what Ranjini Gayatri said to T.M. Krishna or how the Music Academy responded to Ranjini Gayatri. I mean, it's between them. How does it even impact our lives? How does it even matter? But then, you know, it's just going on. But the national media picked up the story and then it's going on. Frankly, to me, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
I'll tell you one reason. I mean, one reason is because you will hear any, they will say, they say Carnatic music cannot be, one is it's pure. They appeal to the purity of the Carnatic music. So only we are able to, stick to, transfer its purity from generation to generation. One. Another, now they say it's complex. It's a very complex system of music, so common man can't understand, can't enjoy it. So now that is the bullshit that we want to call out. That's the bullshit that TM Krishna has been calling out all along. If something is complex, it can be learned. I mean, it's not like common man can't learn something that is complicated.
They gave a series of interviews, this duo Ranjini Gayatri.
Yes.
And I'm quoting what they said in one of the interviews.
There is always distinction in any given society. That's what we mean. Here you call it caste. And I don't think Brahmins are casteist. We have not tried to take music away from any community.
There is always distinction in any given society.
Yes.
Here you call it caste. And
yeah.
Quote, Brahmins are soft targets. We are the most accepting and least casteist community, unquote. So
yeah.
I don't know what...
They were making their own point.
Their beef, is it, are they political animals? Is it just something they've jumped into, or do they have a history of having political allegiance or canvassing for any party, or I don't know much about them.
They're relatively young women, so relatively newer on the scene. I've heard them on TV. I watched a lot of their shows on YouTube. It's beautiful. They sing amazingly beautiful. I'm actually a fan of Ranjini and Gayatri. But they were born and grew up in Bombay. So they are not very well, I would think, they are not very well versed with the politics of Tamil Nadu. Here, Periyar is our, he's a big icon here. We call him the grand old man of Erode, and all the progress that Tamil Nadu has made on several, you know, health indicators, economic indicators, women's progress, we attribute almost directly
to the Periyar movement.
Periyar,
absolutely.
His teachings.
So what do you think would have prompted this letter from the two, considering they're not even part of like the Tamil Nadu politics or the ecosystem?
No, but they come here. I mean, now they're part of our, part of the Margali Makkalisai, part of the December festival organized by the Music Academy, and they are very popular now, gaining in popularity. Now, T.M. Krishna has been going hammer and tongs against this Brahminical hegemony of the classical, arts, music and dance. And he sings in praise of Periyar. Periyar, who was very, he didn't mince his words in his...
criticism of Brahminism, yes, he was very aggressive. I mean, as was anyone, because... that's how, even that Kanshiram slogans, Tilak Tarazu or Talwar, Inko Maro Joote Char, thing, you may not agree with everything, like even this, now many people who, Congress that is going to be doing a protest with AAP leaders in if they are allowed to, on the 31st of March in Ramlila Maidan,
yeah,
the rhetoric from the stage was put everyone in jail, na?
Yeah.
Now everyone is in jail. It's rhetoric is one thing. So,
yeah, you have to understand all what Periyar said in context. You know, this is, he spoke during the 20s and 30s. It was a different language of that period. It was much accepted. You know, a lot of Brahmins were part of the Periyar movement also.
Right, absolutely, sure.
He was not anti-Brahmin. He was basically anti-superstition. Was more a rational thinker.
No, also, so Dr. Rao, I mean, I personally think that you have to see things in context. Even if he was anti-Brahmin, in the India he grew up in, I don't grudge him that, you know. It's like Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Sure, he was pro-civil liberties, but I would say he was anti-white. I mean, some of his, like, there was a very marked difference in Malcolm X's, you know, approach to civil liberties and Martin Luther King's. Mm. Now, I think Martin Luther King would be more effective, but you know, it's okay for, like, Subhash Chandra Bose saying we'll go to war against the British. Bapu wasn't anti-British, he was anti-colonialism, but I don't grudge, you know, the freedom fighters who wanted a more radical approach. So I don't think there's even anything wrong with being anti-Brahmin at a time when Brahminism is, you see the numbers, I mean, when they've swallowed up all the resources in the country, and you're the smallest community, it is...
And gatekeeping, no, complete gatekeeping, education, all opportunities, all government positions, now music... Music actually, which evolved from another, even Carnatic music and dance, I mean, classical Bharatanatyam, is not the forte of the Brahmins. It was part of the hereditary courtesans community. From, and they were denotified, they were banned from, you know, because of a lot of social change. That's another story. But, you know, it was taken over by the Brahmins and... they completely made their own.
In that context, there was also an old quote of T.M. Krishna that was dragged out where he had said M.S. Subbalakshmi to get more accepted in the Brahmin tradition of her music, you know, had to distance herself from the legacy of where she got the music, which was the courtesan tradition. Is that something on the, along the lines? Yeah. What was it?
He is previously from the courtesan, the formerly Devadasi tradition. Community.
Okay.
So. Yes.
Her son, though, wrote in the Hindu, I think.
Great-grandson wrote. Yeah. And he defended T.M. Krishna's stance so beautifully. And he said that if Emma Samma was alive today, she would engage in a, you know, very healthy discussion on this.
Also, I don't find T.M. Krishna particularly radical in his utterances. Yeah. It's very inclusive. He talks about, you know, like coming up with one song a day or a month on Allah and Jesus, including LGBTQI, Dalits.
Yeah.
But he's not... He's very opposed to the Sangh Parivar, but I don't think he's as radical in his utterances as, say, a Periyar. He's
sure,
not
absolutely
so...
Absolutely not. No, not at all. So I think what's happening right now is, and I've seen this, it's a question of, you know, the tail wagging the dog. Social media trends determine what takes up. For example, there are people on Twitter who today want to see Periyar as a villain because of his utterances at that time. And anyone who... today praises Periyar.
But doesn't outrightly say that he was bad
Periyar
and he was
a
terrible.
Racist. You know, you want to say Periyar was casteist. In fact, so political parties are kind of trying to push that Periyar should be apologetic for what he said rather than, you know, the entire Brahmin tradition being feeling guilty. I mean, there has to be a Periyar guilt as opposed to the Brahmin guilt, you know.
Yes.
It's just, they reversed it. Now, a dozen nutters on Twitter will say this. Those nutters are usually... you know, people who are, a couple of them are former employees of some rather large news organizations, I have noticed.
Yes, yes,
now,
yes, we know who you're talking about.
Suddenly, that becomes the legacy media. Like, it's such a completely idiotic narrative or even something, you know, in any rational discussion.
Yeah. If you thanks to social media, all the idiots have found each other.
Yeah,
you know?
and because idiots, it's realist. I mean, I think Kunal Kamra's that one statement, key expletives coming up. Key Big Boss, have you ever wondered? Key, do you understand Hindi, Dr. Rao?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, so.
आपने कभी सोचा है कि हर जगह भारत के हर कोने से चूतिये क्यों लाए जाते हैं Big Boss पे? जैसे सलमान खान normal लगे
हैं. He says, and it's true. He says stand-up comics are afraid of making jokes at Salman Khan because Salman Khan, you know, he is basically a goon, a tucha goon. And Bombay, basically, stand-up comedy is, other than a few exceptions like Varun Grover, Kunal Kamra, a few. It's a very cowardly profession. They will not do any political comedy because it may hit them.
Yeah.
So they would be scared of cracking Salman jokes.
एक टाइम पे कॉमेडियन लोग सलमान खान से डरते थे फिर मोदी जी आया तो देखा सलमान खान की गांठ फटी हुई है ये लौड़ू से हम क्यों डरे रात को दारू पी के फोन करेगा ठीक है तो हमने भी दो तीन ड्रिंक लगा के उठा लेंगे क्या प्रॉब्लम है सब डरते थे सलमान खान के ऊपर जोक नहीं मारने का जो वो लड़कियां को लाफे मार रहे और हम उस आदमी पे जोक नहीं मार रहे
ये सब बताओ तुम्हें जोक मारने में शर्म आती है उसको अपनी गर्लफ्रेंड को लाफे मारने में शर्म नहीं आती सो आई थिंक सोशल मीडिया इज सच अ नटर काइंड ऑफ दैट दे फाइंड द नटर्स so that the anchors can look slightly normal.
Absolutely. So the pushback against Ranjini Gayatri hasn't been very high in the left liberal spaces here because we don't want to, you know, make them, give them more platform, you know, to come up with their, you know, idiocy. So it's dying down here, actually, I would say.
So as an issue, it's more or less over, you think? It will not spill into elections and become this because...
I don't think so. Absolutely not. We have far more important things to worry about.
I should hope so. But I must say that Ranjini Gayatri and Vivek Agnihotri have one thing in common. They both think that Brahmins have been persecuted in our country. Yes. That is something they have in common. So I really...
white Brahmin men think. So now it's the... you know, the white Brahmin women are thinking that now.
Right. So have you any comments on this before we say a question about this?
I haven't. In fact, I once, 2-3 years ago, I came across his article, T.M. Krishna, I think either in TOI or in An Express. I think he had written about Ram and I was very impressed. And then I referred him for the interview with you.
Right.
So you interviewed T.M. Krishna, I think. You did, na?
It's a few years ago.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So I read his article.
Did I end up interviewing him or was it a podcast? No, just check.
I think what Aishwarya is saying about taking classical music to the masses, you really have to be against the arts to see anything against this project. I mean, taking it to the masses, including people, you have to have that so that you make sure the art doesn't die. Yeah? So I just cannot see... the opposition to what he's doing here, especially like I said, because I really don't find him radical in his views. I think he's mostly talking about inclusion. That's it. Should not be a contentious issue in 2023.
In the Brahmin circles, it is very explosive and you know, crazy. And I'll just wanted to add to this. You know, what is important for me? I just want to add. See, I'm a Christian and I'm a Dalit. So for me, and because I produced Carnatic music albums, I was completely, but this is not in Modi's India. I did this about 10 years back. So there was a lot of criticism because we did a Bharatanatyam dance for one of the songs, a music video, and the women didn't wear botus. So there's like, how can your Bharatanatyam dancers not have botu?
What is botu?
Da, 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 da. So there was one.
What botu is botu?
Is the bindi.
Okay. Bindi. Okay.
I see.
So there was this thing. So basically they want to say Carnatic music is ours. No one else should enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, I mean, they will cast vile aspersions on you.
Right.
My case, they said conversion, you know,
So you were trying to convert people through that.
Through Bharatanatyam.
Right.
Yes.
So it's a bit like the Oxford debate. So before the debate starts, say, okay, how many of you agree with the proposition? Everyone puts up their hands. So before the performance, pull up your, how many of you are Christian? So then after the performance, how many of you are Christian? Then you see if it's gone up, the number's gone up or come down. But sir, Jayashree did that interview with T.M. Krishna. Huh? Not me, yeah. Interesting to note. But I do hope more important issues dominate prime time. But this was something that I was very curious about. So I thought we must get someone who understands these things to explain it to us. But thank you so much for taking the time, Dr. Rao. And thank you for the work you do.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm a great, big fan of News Laundry. And you people, your podcast is very, very, thought-provoking. Thank you.
Thank you. Any recommendations you have for our audience that they can read, they can watch, they can listen to that would enrich their lives in any way?
Yes, I have three recommendations, but they're all one.
Okay.
I'm a big sucker for police drama, crime thrillers, etc., whodunits. So on Prime, there are three women police dramas. Have you all seen Happy Valley? It is a three-season police drama. It is about a woman police officer, and she goes about in Yorkshire. It's a small, sleepy town in nestled somewhere in the middle of the UK, where there's crime, there's drugs, etc. So it's a crazy, it's a wickedly funny, it's a beautiful show. It's really nice. Happy Valley is a must-see. Do not miss it.
Okay.
It's wonderful. And other two more police, women police drama series on Prime as well. Blue Lights, it's set in Ireland. And there's Deadlock, it's set in Australia. So three different women-led police dramas. They're awesome. You must not miss it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And thank you for your time, and hope to see you sometime. If you're in Delhi, do come to our studio.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Bye. Have a great day.
Thank you.
On that note, I would like to remind everybody again, do subscribe to newslaundry.com, contribute, pay to keep news free. We have a joint News Minute News Laundry subscription. I would hope you guys would double the utility, double the support, and do support journalists, because journalists need more support than opposition leaders these days. So, and we don't want journalists also to be going to the same people buying electoral bonds who are also advertising. Something should be left to the public. So, Raman sir, Manisha, so many things have happened. So, we'll let Manisha decide what we should discuss, because Varun Gandhi's been dropped and Jitin Prasad has got his ticket, but Menaka Gandhi has retained Pilibhit. No, Rampur.
Sultanpur.
Yeah.
Jindal, of course.
Mandi,
you know, so much is happening, the ticket distribution, so much is happening, you know, all over the country. But in Delhi streets, I was just, you know, observing that when they said we'll ghera the Prime Minister's house, as to the Prime Minister's house these days looks like it's never looked in my lifetime. It is like, I stay quite close to the Prime Minister's house, so I pass it quite regularly. I'm always blown away by the amount of, they've increased the security there. And they said, we'll ghera the Prime Minister's house. The police, matlab, they did not let them reach anywhere close. And I was thinking, there was a time where every third, fourth month, I've had gheraud PM Manmohan Singh's house. And kitna hum bichare ko gali dete the. He was right. No, I have
history
no...
History is... I have will no, judge me kindly.
I have no... Of course, I think at that time, he was just saying it. He was being flattering to himself. He could not have predicted Modi will be this level. I don't think he could have predicted that Modi will do this to India. But now when you look back, sure, I think history will judge him a lot more kindly than that environment did. So what do you want to discuss, Manisha?
I think the arrest of Arvind Kejriwal, I think that is the biggest news of the week. And I don't know how much prominence it's got in television news, but at the heart of it, this PMLA Act, it's very scary what it is able to do in this case, especially with the tweak. So if you look at this case, essentially, what is the central allegation against AAP? That, you know, wholesalers were given, their profit margins were increased from 5% to 12%. And the 7% margin was given to big businesses, which then gave kickbacks to AAP. Classic case of quid pro quo. Except in this case, what's astonishing is that there is no proof. There's no money trail that connects Arvind Kejriwal to any of these allegations.
Or even Manish.
Even, okay, so... Okay, at least in Manish and Vijay Nair's case, the ED claims that his secretary has said that, you know, he introduced a policy. Vijay Nair was a conduit between the South group. This is all people saying, you know, approvers. Basically, secretaries, former secretaries saying that, you know, this is what happened. Nothing links Arvind Kejriwal to even Manish Sisodia. No one has said on record that we heard Arvind say this to Manish and then he introduced the policy. Or we have a WhatsApp message that Arvind said, okay, Kavita should be given $1 billion.
So basically, they can arrest anyone on anything.
And there's no money trail. Like, there's not... Okay, firstly, anyway, the 7% is supposed to have been spent in Goa. So we don't know what happened, where that money came from. There's absolutely no money trail. And the scary bit is that this PMLA, you know, it basically puts the onus on AAP now to prove itself innocent. And you cannot give bail in PMLA till the court is satisfied that they have not, there's prima facie no case against them. No court will ever say that. Which court will ever commit to saying that?
Unless
no
a trial has been done.
Unless a trial has been done. So you can basically put anyone in jail forever and there's no recourse. And this is very scary. I think, I mean, you have to leave aside AAP, whether you like them or not. What do you think of this liquor policy? This is very scary for
anyone
in this country.
There's one AAP minister who is already in the jail for the past 3 years, I think, Satinder Jain.
Ah. I mean, they've sent him back and he had come
also,
out from it.
I mean, PMLA was slapped on him. And he's inside the jail. He's not getting bail for that.
Now, two...
And in case of Manish Sisodia's bails, not as... Like, courts have kind of questioned the ED again and again on what proof do you have? How can you link? Will this stand in
but
court?
But they don't give bail.
But they can't commit because... No court will ever commit to saying that no wrongdoing has happened till they have it on proof. I mean, that goes against basic principles of...
No, it's a catch-22, you know, nah? Exactly. The trial hasn't happened, so they cannot commit. And until exactly. they commit, they cannot give bail. So it's...
So
I don't know how the courts should take the PMLA, I mean, legal position on the PMLA. But if you look at the, entire case, government makes policies and these policies may go wrong. But whether they are criminal in nature, this is the first step that where you need to identify whether what is the criminal nature of this policy. I mean, for example, Modi introduced demonetization. He said black money chali jayegi, black money all jada aa gayi.
And there was a PIL also which was rejected. In fact, that is something that even the cases that come against us, you know, on IT, this, that. Often I tell the lawyers, why can't we go against the government? What kind of a case is this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a rule is this that you can question me on stuff? They said, that's a policy issue. That is the policy of how the Income Tax Act is this thing. And the court will never step in on policy issues. This is a policy issue. How can the court step in and decide whether you're guilty or not?
Right.
Like, now with the electoral bond data out, every policy I can say, like, technically, there is no criminality in it, but every rule that has been changed for anything from, mining environment clearances to Ambani Zoo,
right,
to
the pharma companies,
every policy of the government is a quid pro quo. Modi should be in jail. Mm. You know, it is bizarre.
You can arrest any chief minister, opposition leader under PMLA. They go to jail and then they have to resign. They can't get out. So.
Also, there is a very clear trend. Anybody who is not in BJP is facing the legal action, the criminal action. And those who were raided and who had criminal charges against them and they have joined BJP, the cases have gone and...
And Express Investigation said that. Express Story said, 95% were all opposition leaders.
But how... The so many arrests, so many injustices that are happening in the country, this clearly... I personally think that the Modi government underestimated... the kind of, appeal that Arvind Kejriwal still has. For example, the German diplomatic office issued a statement. They were summoned by the MEA.
I was impressed. The US's,
Gloria was summoned by them, saying that what was exact their...
Internal matter.
This thing was unwarranted aspersions. Abhay, aspersions, of course, the world will make you... They're running this like Putin's Russia. Yeah? I mean, of course, you can't
That's a very correct
you
parallel.
Can't say, no one should say anything to me because, we are so great, we are mother of democracy. But demonstrate it. Mm. You're running it like Putin's Russia, no? Yeah. That's how you're running India right now. So, the question is the snowball effect. And I think they had underestimated the snowball effect. In the March 31st, Uddhav is coming to Delhi. Congress is part of it. And... unless they turn Delhi into a fortress, which they're doing. Now, I just like to point out how the media was roughed up by the cops for
India
trying
Today,
to cover this.
India Today photojournalist.
And in fact, I don't know how many of them have written articles on this, but I have spoken to reporters who were trying to get to the AAP headquarters. They could not get to the AAP headquarters. Some who managed somehow.
Yeah.
It was empty.
Yes.
And I've spoken to three reporters who told me this.
Yes.
And the police saying, we have not cordoned off the AAP headquarters.
They had virtually seized.
So, I mean, if you run a country like this, you can't expect the world to clap and say, look at these wonderful people who stand up for liberty. I mean, it is bizarre. But what is sad is, even the fourth pillar of democracy, media, they are not standing up for their own reporters. Yeah.
So the Hindustan photojournalist has fractured his arm. The guy, the viral picture that's, with the cop holding the neck. An India Today photojournalist. Now, I'm very sure if this was West Bengal or if this was, any of the Congress states, Sudhir would have done a primetime show. Ye dekho kaise. No one has said anything.
No one.
This guy, you can see the cop holding his neck, is an India Today guy.
Yes.
And but the big question, I think, also is to really, this will be very interesting elections, because 2019 Lok Sabha, BJP sweeps and gets 56% vote share. The next year, AAP sweeps state elections and gets 53% vote share.
Mm.
So clearly there's an overlap. We know of this, course. That you know, the Delhi voter likes BJP in center and AAP at state. What are they going to do this time? And how will parties be able to mobilize voters to see through this very dangerous trend? Because I do think this has not gone down well with people. I do think there's a sense among people that, you know, don't, this has gone a bit too far. He's an elected guy. He's highly popular. They've decisively won state assembly elections. To put him in jail like this is, I think...
Also, as we speak, the Election Commission has issued a notice to Supriya Shinate and also BJP's Dilip Ghosh, I think, to do a balancing act. But this and the National Commission of Women has taken cognizance of Supriya Shinate's tweet, but on way more horrific stuff. What you've done to every institution, and yet you don't want to be criticized.
Right.
Dude, really, this government is in a different zone of.
But I also
nuttiness.
Feel like Congress, like I feel so angry with Supriya Shinate or her team, whatever. There's so much you can take on Kangana with.
Mm.
Why do you have to tweet something so stupid and lowly? Yaar? Like, apne pair mein kuladi maarte raho. There's so much you can, if you wanted to counter her or whatever, make fun of her final candidature. It's pretty crass what they said.
Meanwhile, Mahua Moitra has been summoned yet again. CBI searched her house. Apparently, the mother was...
The opposition has... Modi government has mounted, you know, attack on the opposition. Their bank, I think they're going to slap another income tax notice on... They are going to, take... they have already taken out
135 crore, no? From Congress saying the income tax.
And they're going to take some more now.
But it's really tragic that the media is not, we mean the popular, most loudest voices, because this is scary, this is Putin level stuff.
No, on the day Kejriwal was arrested, there was,
coverage.
Coverage. There was a proper coverage.
No, of course.
But coverage is like, if you're guilty, nahi ho, to kya dar hai, prove karke a jao bahar. But the provisions are very scary. Yeah. No one can prove themselves innocent with these provisions.
Mm.
Yes. Anyone's just going to rot in jail with these provisions. And there's just no fighting
it. Actually, the thing is that although either there should be equal opportunity, it should not just be the ED that should be allowed to try people under PMLA. Give it to any CID, police, then you see every political leader will be in jail.
No,
if you have a good life.
I had said it in the past also. If you just look at the investigating agencies in India.
Hmm.
CBI always used to take the case. First, the case used to come to CBI. So after CBI, ED will examine the clauses and everything and see if there is a case of PMLA or money laundering. Money laundering case hai ki nahi. They used to file a case after CBI files the charge sheet. But now the trend is opposite because ED, the provisions of this PML and all, they are so draconian that you cannot get bail.
So
the CBI has been relegated into the background and ED has become the prime investigating agency. And if you look at their also record, the success record is not even 1% right now.
Now, some crystal ball gazing. I know that is not what we usually do here, but sometimes we like to. Do you think, or in your analysis, sitting in the air-conditioned studios of News Laundry, bloody air-conditioned, wale, what do you know?
Soon we'll be hitting the road though, in heat wave, peak heat wave in May.
You can, Manisha. I shall still be sitting in air-conditioned studios. But do you think this is going to be play positively for the BJP, or it's gone backfired, it's boomeranged on them? What do you think, Manisha?
I don't think it's played positively at all. But I do think that for an electoral outcome, you need political mobilization. So much will depend on how AAP, Congress, India Alliance and other parties can come together and really make this into an issue, rally people around it, protest, go out and really kind of milk this.
Mm.
But I don't think fundamentally people are okay with it. Because he's a popularly elected leader.
If you make Kejriwal today the referendum point...
Mm.
This issue is going to hit the opposition, Modi government like hell.
Mm.
But having said that, the opposition parties would not like to see, Rahul Gandhi would not like to see Kejriwal growing, you know, above his stature, or Mamta above her stature. So maybe they will not go to that point. So I think the impact is not going to be much. Political impact. I mean, especially the coming election. I will really be surprised if the opposition is able to win, you know, I mean, AAP is Delhi. Able to win one or two seats from Delhi.
India, because now they're
together. No, Delhi. In Delhi.
No, India Alliance, because they're
India together. Alliance, whatever.
And in one year, there's the state elections. Don't forget, like, Delhi Assembly moves to vote. So you've crippled an entire party.
But by assembly, I think what they'll try to also do is president's rule or some shit they'll come up with. They'll keep doing. But I think that I was very surprised, and this is purely anecdotal to people I know. I have a few relatives who are Modi supporters. After this arrest, they said, yeah, this is ridiculous. We are not voting for this guy. This guy is just, he goes, because, you know, they
very happy to
so
hear.
I was very surprised. Then I asked, you know, some people around in my colonies, you know, what do you think? You know, people were not particularly, you know, anti-Modi. They were saying, yeah, he's good for them. This has actually put off a lot of his voters, because who also like Kejriwal. But it has, the reverse is not true. It has not, the people are cheering, are dal diya andar. They would vote for Modi whether he did demonetization, whether he told them to stand and say, ab taali bajao, ab kathak karo, whatever, they would vote for him. It is that one in the middle
that decides said, the votes also.
Yeah, who has said that, dude, this guy will do anything, tomorrow we are also in shit. So I think that's the only thing.
I do feel is that, you know, people, I think a lot of people recognize these dictatorial tendencies, and they recognize what's happening with opposition chief ministers. But somehow the cluelessness of Rahul Gandhi is scarier to people than the autocracy of Modi. Like, in a lot of conversations, people know ki yaar ye to dictatorship karne wala hai, ye to kuch. But then the moment you put Rahul in front of them, I think just having a clueless person is scarier than having a dictatorial person. And this is borne out in a Pew research. Hilal Ahmed has done a very good piece in the print where he says that most Indians want representative democracy. They are very happy with representation within electoral democracy, in the sense more women, more people from marginalized. But they have a liking for a strong leader who can get things done. There is that space. I think we are at that point in India where there's an appreciation, I guess, because we are fed up of chaos. I mean,
not
as a country, we
India,
don't want
world
chaos.
Over.
World over, maybe.
No, I think so. My experience
that is what is helping Modi, I feel. Just
even
Rahul as a face.
Even in Bollywood movies, if you see Animal, or for that matter, any other movie where if the hero is stronger, and even if he is dictator, he is draconian in his behavior, people
flouts rules.
People like him. So I think people see a strong person in Modi rather than a dictator. Dictator, he...
No, but I think the...
Which is why I think Kejriwal is a scarier proposition for the BJP, because people don't see him as, with the election results, you see.
I think that is clear, that for the BJP, they see Kejriwal as the biggest danger to them, which is why... For someone who was so small, they came and they changed a few rules as soon as they got their first term, taking the ACB out of Kejriwal's control in Delhi. I mean, the way they went after him from day one, it was clear. And many people who have been close to the BJP will tell you.
They changed the administrative rules
of Delhi
after Supreme Court, gave a decision in his favor.
So they clearly realize that Kejriwal is the bigger danger to Modi than anything else. But the same Pew research, I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about, it also said that, Indians have a liking for
military rule.
Autocrats, and and it's gone up in the last 5 years. You know, from the last time this research was done to now, the number hasn't gone down. The number who prefer autocracy has gone up.
Clear, decisive leader who's not bogged down by, say, coalition. Or
by power. Rules and, these inconvenient things like constitution.
But I think that if you had an opposition face which was a little more coherent than what Congress is putting up, Modi could get a very good fight.
I mean, honestly, I think if you had a level playing field, Mr. Modi would have not been this large in life image. Dude, you have the ED, CBI,
so many people
want to go and join, but they are scared to go. They don't want to go to jail. I'm telling you, like, I myself, and it's not like I'm scared of going to jail. But is this going to increment trying to go to jail? I mean, if you go to jail for a bigger, for trying to gher out the PM's house, I've gher out Manmohan Singh's house 2-3 times. You know, we were picked up today, so they'll slap terrorism charges against all.
Yes.
So this, I mean, what I actually don't agree with is that if there was a credible face of the opposition, Modi would not be. There is no credible face of the opposition because he has basically completely taken away resources, which the electoral bond tells us.
The fourth.
The media has been bought over at a level where people, yes, even who want to show the others are too scared, yes, to show. Agencies have been bought over. There's intimidation of the most shocking level that's happening with agencies. If you take all this away, Mr. Modi is, he's no Marlon Brando or Amitabh Bachchan, yeah, dude.
But I think Rahul...
There is, you give an auditorium full of people, 30 minutes of Modi and 30 minutes of Kejriwal, I can tell you, Kejriwal will make Mr. Modi look like
a complete...
So, but will anyone give that? So, it's not there. No, why focus on Rahul? They can have so many... Again, who the hell was Kejriwal in 2010? Yeah, he was nothing.
But
3,000 people had gathered. Right now, whatever, 10,000 people have gathered in Ladakh. Has anyone gone live? We've done a couple of stories. Less than 1/3 of those people had live wall-to-wall coverage here in Jantar Mantar. I can tell you because I used to be calling up reporters and asking them to cover it. You give the same exposure, Mr. Modi will not last a year.
Right.
I think Rahul Gandhi, even if he gets the media exposure, it's, I don't think his is just a media problem.
I'm saying
I'm talking about Rahul because I think people see Rahul as the other alternative.
That is because Modi says. Modi says Rahul.
But national level, see, with the same resources that Modi has, regional leaders have taken him on and beat him in hollow. Because there's leadership, there's strategy, there's work on ground, there's cadre, there's something to these leaders which a Congress doesn't have.
Yeah, no, but
I think
Modi,
like the current Congress cannot take on Modi.
But to discredit Modi, you don't need Rahul. Modi, it could be anyone,
right? Modi, right now we don't have. They are presenting us only as Rahul as an option.
They are. BJP is.
Modi prefers to project Rahul.
So let the Congress do it. But what I'm saying is that doesn't matter. If you give a level playing... No, what I'm saying is, why should they decide who they put against who? Let the level playing field decide who they put against. You know, like that WWF that used to happen? 30 people in the ring. Now the last two surviving will figure it out. Let it go like that. Who and why should we have Rahul versus Modi? I reject that whole thing.
Because that's what they're giving us.
Who is they?
The Congress party. They are not protecting anyone.
But why do you have to
listen
to the Congress party?
But as a voter, I'm talking as an Indian voter, when you go out to vote, you're choosing a central figure, your prime minister. There is the India Alliance, which doesn't have the prime minister thing. And there's very clearly Congress projects Rahul. All said and done, Rahul is their leader.
No one else.
Maybe Congress is leader. No, but what I'm saying is...
So why will I... So for me, I'll go for Modi because he's just... There's more coherence to his politics.
Then you have decided that the Congress and BJP are deciding for you who the leaders should be. Had anyone decided, Manmohan Singh will be, OHG Devgaud will be, YK Gujral will be. What I'm saying is that this entire framing of Modi versus Rahul is the success of the BJP's media machine. It is a completely
simple.
Made up...
Of, yeah.
It is...
Absolutely.
Tell me one other election in... And I can tell you, sir has covered more than me. I have seen 5 or 7 Lok Sabha elections. I have not even seen one election. It was not Atal versus Manmohan. Before Atal became... It was not Atal versus Sonia.
It was Sonia versus Atal.
No, it was
Sonia
not.
Was pretty much the face of UPA one. She got them to win. But with a great machinery also.
Hang on. UPA one was not Sonia versus Atal. Sonia was no one before UPA one happened, dude. You are forgetting.
But there was this whole thing of where she was going to be the prime minister and then Sushma Swaraj and all
that. That is because they had got the numbers. Okay.
But she was pretty much the person on rallies.
They were not even expecting to get that.
I am talking about, I don't know if you recall, they had no idea they would win. I remember Montek Singh Ahluwalia, who was with World Bank. That night, he was called by Manmohan Singh, please come back to India. He came next week. He resigned his job. The UPA, and I can tell you, friends of mine were part of that. They had no clue they were winning But forget that. I am talking about the run-up to that election. Was it Sonia versus Atal? Are you kidding?
Sonia was pretty much a prominent face in that campaign.
Dude.
And there was a coherent Congress leadership.
I don't think
the UPA one can be compared to the Congress of today. Okay. I do think there were
I'm not comparing again. I'm talking about, again, we are going into a different... UPA one is a post-election phenomena. I'm not comparing UPA one to today's Congress. UPA one was a post-election phenomena. There was no UPA that contested the election. The election was contested... by Congress. And I can tell you, I was very much writing on that. I was at writing regularly for NDTV, the political satire show, Sonia was nothing. Sonia became this political entity after election. Dude, Sitaram Kesari had pushed her out of Congress. What are you talking about?
She but had UP, when I've read so many of these political, like Neerja Chaudhary's book also talks about her campaigning, how she was the face, yeah, she really took them on. The UP, Congress itself like projected her as this
Rahul
person.
Rahul Gandhi himself.
They gave her credit for everything.
No, they gave her credit later on, but her entire political, she really earned her chops as a political strategist. Till election, Tina, where did the concept of there is no alternative emerge from? It emerged from the 2004 election.
Mm.
There is no alternative. If not Atal, who?
Mm.
That is the genesis of this question. Mr. Modi has not invented this question. And then, I've told on Hafta, Pramod Mahajan used to threaten reporters like this here in front of them, dude, we are coming back. He was so confident. Sonia Gandhi's entire stature and, oh, she's so big and everyone's scared of her, was a completely post-election phenomenon. Before that, no one was scared of Sonia Gandhi. She was not such a big deal in politics. The way Sitaram Kesari humiliated her, what are you talking about? She had to leave the Congress office and, you know, in tears, go to a house on foot. She was nothing here.
I don't know. But UPA one, like what I've read from a lot of political commentators of that time, she was supposed to be like one of the big election campaigners for the Congress, the big
face. She may have been, but she was nobody for the rest of the public. See, once you win, everybody is great.
Madam, UPA won, would you ascribe Congress's win during UPA won to Sonia? No, you would not.
No.
UPA won was a coalition of 27 parties?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying Congress's victory.
No. Rahul Gandhi was surprised to win 21 seats from UP.
Yeah.
He was very surprised.
UPA 2, I would say, was phenomenal because of Manmohan. There were a variety of reasons.
And the farm loan waiver, basically.
It was a big deal. Dude.
Okay, all said and done, but I still think
72 seats
that
left,
Congress is not providing an alternative to Modi, and it is a contest of national parties right now. And there's no other national party to the BJP.
I think Modi,
Congress has a clueless leadership. Yeah, they're not inspiring.
No,
they're
sure
not.
There are, but again, see, there are two things.
And even if you give him the media, I don't think he'll win.
This is a phone and this is a piece of paper. This is a piece of paper because this is a phone. Again, you are saying Congress has a clueless leadership as if I'm opposing that. I'm not pushing back on that. I agree with you.
Hmm.
I'm disagreeing on the following. That means Modi is the only alternative. That is what I'm disagreeing with.
I'm not saying I'm saying that current sort of choices in front of the voter for the election is a Congress, Rahul Gandhi and a Modi.
And I am saying that is purely because of the way the media has framed it.
Modi.
I am saying you are taking something as a given, as if it is a natural, that's the axiom. It is not a given. That is something that has been framed. This is not red because it was born red. We chose it to be red. If the designers of the studio had said this is not going to be red, it wouldn't be red. It could be any color. The media, the agencies and the corporations of this country have decided to pitch it Modi versus Rahul. Otherwise, let chaos prevail and see who emerges. Yeah. You take them, forget the other agents, take media away. See how long Modi's invincibility stays.
It helps Modi to project Rahul Gandhi. It helps him. It helps the BJP.
People's credibility doesn't fall because there is someone to make it fall. If you let people criticize Modi the way they want to in mainstream media, his stature will fall. Rahul's doesn't have to rise. How many, like Modi's latest speech in what was this? Summit where he's India will be the world load bearing, whatever. Complete nonsensical stuff. You let people make montage of that and run it on prime time. See what credibility he has left. Clouds se humne ye kar diya. Maine 1970-80 mein wo email pe bhej diya.
You know, sab to hai.
What I'm saying is, these run as montages on legacy media. Let them run as montages on legacy media of Modi. See in 4 years how much credibility
I think
has
media left. Is a big factor in their arsenal of why they win, but I don't think it's the only one. I do think there's a lot more to what the BJP is doing. And I do think all these regional, Mamata, Kejriwal, Tejasvi, all these guys with the same conditions have been able to give Modi a very good takkar. Precisely because they know politics and Congress is failing at politics.
Anyway, on that note, we shall take the emails of the week. You can give us your feedback, your suggestions, your recommendations, your critique, your criticism. But we only entertain the criticism and feedback of our subscribers. So unless you're a paying subscriber, we will not really include your email or your feedback. So mail us at podcasts@newslaundry.com. I repeat, podcasts@newslaundry.com, or click on the link which opens up this little form and you can give us your feedback directly. That is a more efficient way of doing it. So here is what we have from the last few. So Manisha, you haven't been here for a while. Yeah, why don't you give feedback?
So Shweta Godavarthi says, hi, dear NL, congratulations. Project Electoral Bond, congratulations NL and Project Electoral Bond team. I've been following NL's reporting on political funding since your piece on 19th Feb 2024, and the stories have educated me of the extent of nexus between corporates, political parties in power, and enforcement agencies. However, I'm failing to see any direct establishment of quid pro quo. Is NL doing stories, investigations, examining casual evidence of an understanding between a corporate and a ruling party for favors in return for money, for the time frame of deposit and encashment of EBs, or am I missing something? Else, for the jaded public, it remains no more than further evidence of crony capitalism, harassment by enforcement agencies, and hamam mein sab nange hai rhetoric, which is problematic in itself, but not enough to jolt us citizens to action. Keep up the good work. I had the same question of you today. There's one story that is coming up, no?
Yeah, we can't say in as many words, it's quid pro quo, but yes, if you look at the proximity of the dates, you know, when the bond was bought, okay, say it was bought, say, on 27th of March, right? Today is 27th of March. 1st of April, the BJP takes encashes that bond.
It encashes that, yeah.
Okay, and 7th, April, something happens. Right. Either a contract is being given or there is some tweak in the policy matter.
I mean,
that is it. So it needs to be further probed.
Yeah, I think
what is left now is money trail is also there, in a way.
Exactly. I think there is more evidence of quid pro quo here
than there is.
But yeah. Yes. But also, you know, what India has, extortive bribery. One bribery is that you give me money and I will do your work. One bribery is, unless you give me money, I'll finish you.
Huh.
Which is also bribery.
If you want to continue with your business happily, you better.
Our first story, which was based on the trust, the list that BJP had given to the election commission. So we identified 41 such companies, which were either raided, you know, by IT or GST or ED. And before they, you know, gave donation to the BJP.
One case that I found very shocking was this Delhi liquor scam, liquor policy. At least we should stop calling it a scam because we don't know if it is. But this P. Sarat Chandra Reddy, who gave 5 crore to Bharatiya Janata Party 5 days after he was taken custody.
Approver.
And then 25 crore the day after he was turned an approver. So this is a person, an approver in a case against the opposition party, which the BJP has.
Yes.
And he's given 25 crore. I think it's...
So you now become the approver or you give us the...
Obviously, as journalists, we can't directly say anything. But the facts kind of tell the story.
You need to, make it 2+2. The investigating agency should. We are giving enough hints that there is a prima facie case for further investigation.
But that's up to the agencies. But Sweta, to answer your question, yes, there are lots more stories coming up based on electoral bonds, many. You will see them continue over the next few weeks.
Yes.
Dr. Skeptic says, in a reply to a journalist asking about how Muslims won't be able to practice their Sharia law, Amit Shah replied, Indian Muslim has not been living as per Sharia law since British times because the criminal code was always uniform. If Sharia is applied, then thieves will have their hands cut, rapists will be stoned to death, Muslims can't take loans, can't take interest. To which prominent Muslim handles on X replied that they do indeed want Sharia criminal code applied in India. People like Anas Tanvir, Hafta panelist on UCC, has tweeted in response to this that he'll support BJP if they bring Sharia criminal code. My question to the panel is, how will India address this kind of religious extremism where prominent Muslims want to take us back to barbaric times of hands being cut and adulterers being stoned?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the others, but I can't speak for the gentleman who you have mentioned. I'm just going on his Twitter timeline. I don't know what he has said.
I think maybe he mean it sarcastically? Was he being sarcastic? Maybe he was being sarcastic.
No, I don't know, but just to give you an idea that I have spoken to, okay, here it is. Amit Shah is asking a legitimate question. Anas Tanvir, so advocate on record SC. So the thing is that, and this is the problem with religion, and I've discussed this often, and many of our co-panelists have disagreed at that time. I don't know whether you are aware or not, Dr. Skeptic, even the Sharia law is interpreted differently by different people. So there was this entire debate was happening, and there was someone who is quote-unquote an Islamic scholar, and I was very surprised when he said that, I'm not saying Sharia should be here, but this is a wrong interpretation. Sharia doesn't say you have to cut off the hands and you are. I was like, well, that's what is happening. Like, I'm not going to, I really don't have the time to go read what said in this hadith and that hadith, and let Dr. Zakir Hussain do that, whatever his name is, Zakir Naik. But the point is, I was like, dude, everybody has their own interpretation of everything. So,
which is why you need a common criminal code.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't have Pakistan different people interpreting it differently. Anonymous says, how do you think parties like BJP decide on keeping the same candidate for a Lok Sabha election versus replacing with a new one? Is there a scientific data-backed method for this, which Modi Shah will use, like carrying out surveys? Yeah, all parties do carry out surveys in their constituencies on popularity.
So not just the parties, individually. Yeah,
individually. So this would be, there would be some assessment that they'd do. Unless until also there are money bags, which are important for a party. So then, you know, everything else takes a backseat. Ravinder Singh says, hi team, love your work as always. Just wanted to let you know this week I received a notification on my iPhone that my password for newslaundry.com has been compromised and appeared in a data leak. Really? Not sure if this has anything to do with the attack on your website, but this does make me worried. Please send us details for this.
Ravinder just mailed me abhinandansekhri@gmail.com. I mean, although there has been no attack on our data, because the attack on our website is basically server just sending traffic. There's no data that goes the other way. But if you've got such an alert, A, just check if it's actually from us. Because I have got a lot of alerts. Did you guys also get it? From me only? No. I need money, etc. With my photograph and all that.
What? No.
Tanishka, who all got it? You got it, Aryan?
Sometime back.
So there was, and my photograph, my everything. Tanishka, I'm in trouble. Can you just send me some money?
What?
So
really?
So Medha also got it. So yeah. But we'll check, Ravinder. Mail me abhinandansekhri@gmail.com.
Julian says, Noam Chomsky expressed in 2023 that it was misguided to convene the G20 meeting in what he described as occupied and brutalized region of Jammu and Kashmir, raising concerns about the moral stance of the grouping in holding such an event in a region marked by suffering. Should India consider its pursuit of Kashmir given the ongoing suffering of its people while the efforts yield little practical outcome? The comparison drawn between India's handling of Kashmir and Israel's occupation suggests troubling parallel, with reports indicating a better situation in Azad Kashmir compared to Jammu and Kashmir. Can News Laundry? I don't know if this
Noam
Chomsky thing. Also, it wasn't held in Jammu and Kashmir. Maybe like there were some MPs who went there and some groupings that
they,
went
they
there.
They had a tour that went there and they were saying that's normalized. So, Julian, A, I disagree that the situation in Azad Kashmir is better than Jammu and Kashmir. There is absolutely no, economic activity that happened in Azad Kashmir that's worth speaking about.
It's Pakistan occupied Kashmir, guys, please.
Oh, that's what they call it, right?
Let me say that. No, but it's not Azad.
Even there, they have different versions of how they call it.
Yeah.
So, it's POK.
We call it POK.
Yeah, India calls it POK. In Pakistan, depending on who's talking, they can call it Azad, they can call it POK, whatever.
The Kashmir in India is India, they call it India occupied.
So, now, I can just tell you, I was in Lahore in 2006 or 7 or 8, I forget, for an event. It was a big event. And there were a lot of volunteers there who were doing a lot of major work. And they were just really excited. And so in the evening when we were sitting and chatting, I asked one of them, so where are you from? A young girl, she must have been in her, early to mid-20s. So she said Kashmir. I said, and then I realized, of course, she doesn't mean my Kashmir, I said, okay. And then she had this really sad smile on her face. And she said, this is the biggest thing that we look forward to. Other than this, there's no event that I can actually. So it's a no contest. I'm no fan of Mr. Modi Shah. Forget this government. Just the way successive governments have treated Jammu and Kashmir. It has been extremely unfortunate, right from, the senior Mr. Abdullah being tossed in jail to subverting elections. But in critiquing or criticizing that, I don't think anyone should be any illusion that the other side of Kashmir, economic activity is still more on this side, in spite of all the shit that's happening. What we should be careful is that we do not become Pakistan. Because religious fanaticism is what took it to where it is. But even today, unless you were drunk on religion, like many people on both sides are, from pure economic activity, from economic opportunities, would you like to be that side or this side? I think for any young person who's looking for a future in life, they would want to be on this side. I don't think it's even a, you know.
Also, I don't think Palestine, Israel, and the problems in Kashmir correlate. Yeah, that's very different. Okay, Pruthul Ravindranath. Hello. Abhinandan's glorification of US democracy is very annoying. US has been a democracy for 250 years now, and at least until 1960s, there was mob lynching of minorities. Even today, there are so-called goon squads and KKK active over there. He's so bent on giving the oldies the leniency towards their dogmatic behavior in LGBTQ plus communities, but not to Indian democracy, which is barely 100 years old. Listening to him makes it sound like it's the end of Indian democracy. I don't deny it's a threatening state. But it's the case almost everywhere, Russia, China, US, depending on who wins. Indians have constantly protested injustice. Sometimes it works, 2011 protests, and sometimes it doesn't, anti-CA protests. That doesn't mean that he uses his platform to make a generalized statement. Also, his example of Nikki Haley was wrong. Her base did abandon her. She lost the primaries in her own state, and not because her policies were any different from that of Trump's. It was because Republicans want Trump no matter what. As an avid subscriber, my request to Abhinandan is to kindly relax his negativity on Indian democracy. And glorification of the West. Stop glorifying the West. Why Trump ko bhi to uska approval rating kitna hai? More than Biden. So we should not look up to them.
Okay. See, now how Manisha replaces words. Look up to everything, you know.
He's saying you're glorifying it.
So let
you're
him say what great. He wants, man. I will dig my heels in on this, Pruthul. A, it is not jaise the democracy aur achar mein fark hota hai. That this is 100 years old, this is 100 years old. So then, because they invented the internet 20 years before us, we should come to internet 20 years later. Like, so we should, there are certain things that are not how old it is. A concept of democracy, once it starts spreading in the world, it spreads at a way, way faster than others. And values, for example, North Korea is not a democracy. Does that mean we will be okay with, let's say they became a democracy today, that for the next 10 years, slavery should be there. I mean, they've heard of what's happening the world over, right? So, they are 250 years old. I understand that is a robust, you know, argument for our institutions aren't that strong. But to say that 60 years, it'll take us 250 years to get there, then, I mean, if that is the unitary method one applies to everything, then we will be far away on everything. Mm-hmm. We'll be 200. No, Haley's base did not abandon her. The Republican Party's base prefers Trump. Haley's base still stuck on to Haley. She did not get zero votes. What I'm saying is, Trump has taken over the Republican Party. But can Haley switch to the Democrats today? I mean, I guess you understand what I'm saying. Can you do a complete 180 degree in a society like that? Could today Corbyn become a part of the government? There's no chance. Could Sunak say, you know what, I'll become Labour? But here it can happen. Look at Naveen Jindal.
No, endemic. Anything can happen.
So, I mean, you give me an example of where it can happen.
This election is an election of turncoats.
So it's not like
doing a series.
Nikki Haley abandoned her. Has she joined the Democrats? And do you think she can? Just answer that question. So, and I'm extremely optimistic. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be doing the job I'm doing. I'm fighting every day. I got one more IT notice day before yesterday. While we are recording this, tomorrow is my hearing in the High Court. I would not be fighting if I didn't believe in our country. But I am not one of those who say, oh, wonderful, wonderful, look how shit they are. Our institutions in our country are a different level
of... They have gone down.
It has nothing to do with how old our democracy is. It is the mindset of people which comes from the caste system. We give in to authority like that. And that's the problem.
Comrade Shepherd says, on the discussion of the Indian mentality, it seems Prashant Kishore is really optimistic about us Indians and our revolutionary spirit, whereas Ravish Kumar is getting cynical day by day like me. It would be a treat if you could get the both of them for an interview. Can you do a segment on anti-defection laws and how they could or could not apply to hostile takeovers of state governments in states? It seems my state, Himachal, is getting ready to be taken over. And can you explain why in Himachal it seems like everyone has a farm, land and sustain themselves, whereas in Punjab, UP, Bihar, etc., it's not the case. Is that the case in Himachal? suppose zimindari abolition, as parties are well off compared to other states in this matter. Why? Not sure if everyone in Himachal has. I mean, the apple orchards, of course, are pretty. It's a belt.
Himachal, you cannot buy
that. It's a belt. And, but it's a small state also. Yeah, UP se
you can buy a flat, but you can't buy
agricultural
land. Agricultural land, sara, orchards and all.
I mean, I don't know what the data says, but purely from, you know, having traveled extensively in many of these states, he's right that you meet people who would appear to be in socioeconomic bracket C, but they would say, "Haan, hamara ek baag hai."
Baag.
And I'm like, dude, mera to sala ek apartment bhi nahi hai, tera baag hai. So, you know, what I'm saying is that on that, I think he's right. Pahari people have land. And you don't see poverty the way you do in a Rajasthan or a UP or a Bihar or even a Punjab. In the hills, in Uttarakhand, in Himachal, that you don't see that poverty. So I don't know whether they are well off.
I think
off.
Himachal is better off. Better Uttarakhand off, is still yeah. quite poor. And I think it's got to do with apple farming because it's just more lucrative. So even if you have a small scale bag with just like 6 apple trees, you are able to generate an income that, you know, you won't in others. But that's purely because of apple, I think. And fruit. I don't think Uttarakhand, Garhwal areas can be very desperately poor.
Really?
Yeah. Even Kumaon regions where there are ghost villages and people have left. And there's really nothing for people to do but join army or drive a taxi.
Right.
All right. So if you have anything to say, you can write into us at podcasts@newslawyer.com. I repeat, podcasts@newslawyer.com. And support journalism and pay to keep news free. On that note, what are the recommendations? Ramansi, you want to go first?
Yeah, there are 3 good news articles, 1 video. The video is with in News Laundry. Anmol Pritham is back in our team. And Anmol Pritham did a very good video, 20-minute long video on Jawaharlal Nehru University elections. He spent the entire night. It's worth watching. And especially the tadka in this were 3 musketeers who had come from Delhi University. And they said, "Ye balak kisi kaam ke na hai, ye ki balak padhte rehte hai sar sar." So they have given a certificate to JNU. Studios. It's a very interesting report. So must watch. Then there was 1 full page article in Hindu last week. The dream chasers who got inducted into a war. So this is about, you know, many Muslims and many Indian Muslims, you know, who ended up going to Russia for a job. And now they are fighting for Russia, you know, in this Ukraine war. So I think there are, even MEA had issued about 150 odd Indians have recently gone to Russia. So it's a story of those people. In this story, Hindu has met their family and, you know, have done a story on their socio-economic status and why these people have had gone to Russia. And the third is very good, the crime story, and I hats off to Bengaluru police. It was an anchor in Indian Express, how police tracked a baseball cap from CCTV to key accused in Bengaluru cafe blast case.
Wow.
It's a beautiful story. In fact, just 1 cap and they identified the criminal. And the story, gives, reconstructs the entire, criminal act and how the Bengaluru police, you know, caught this guy. So good story in the Indian Express.
So, my recommendation would be all the Project Electoral Bond stories that we've done with News Minute, Scroll, Independent Journalists and ORF. I quite liked Rajkamal Jha's speech at the Ramnath Goenka Award. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but you should.
I was there.
You were there. And please tell us, Kali Puri and Arun Puri were also there.
You haven't seen news since?
I really liked the subtle pot shots he took at the media that is itna bend ho gaya that it hurts. So I thought it was a good speech. So you should watch that. And of course, watch Nuisance if you haven't, because you talk about it.
Yeah, I talk about it.
But you mentioned Kali Puri and Arun Puri.
Of course, it was all about.
Did the camera pan to them?
It was all about India Day Conclave as opposed to the Ramnath Goenka, the contrast in the 2 events.
Yeah, stark. Couldn't have been starker. And I was in Dehradun, and tradition is to read Ruskin Bond in Dehradun. So I read his book, The Many Joys of Living a Good Long Life, which I think is very nice. If you're scared of old age, then you should read it, because it can be very fruitful old age if you read his book.
So in fact,
a lot of time, a lot of good things to do.
So it's a good thing you were reading, you know, Ruskin Bond, because so many people wrote in saying that this is such a heavy news couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Electoral bond issues out, election been announced. Where's Manisha? I hope she's working, because our, you know, subscribers, Manish, are paying. She should be working. Now, I couldn't say that she is
reading Ruskin
on leave
Bond
for 2 weeks. I suggest she's working on Bond. So it wasn't a lie.
Reading Ruskin Bond.
It wasn't a lie.
Please, I worked throughout the year, okay? I deserve. Now you're going to get letters. Last time also you got letters. Don't shame her for taking leave.
Don't shame her. But yeah, I completely agree. No, leave as much as... I personally believe people who don't take leave have compromised decision-making ability. And people who don't get enough sleep have compromised decision-making ability. And people who work too hard have compromised decision-making ability. Which is why we have decisions like demonetization. We have decisions like... Dude, if you don't work 18 hours a day, work 8. Please sleep 8 hours a day.
Yeah, but work those 8 hours.
This is your experience with our Prime Minister or what?
So he works my experience 20, in life. Yeah, so very the moment subtle. Someone says...
He works 26 hours in a day, huh? Not 24 hours.
I've been there. Yeah, when you are young, luckily, I was never given a task where I had to take a decision. Right? As production assistants, as researchers during elections, our tasks were very basic. Make sure Vaghela makes it from the entry of the gate to where a correspondent, Uday Mahurkar, who's now election information commissioner, he'll be interviewed without the public beating him up. That was my job. So it's not complicated. So I was making sure, because Vaghela just flipped at that time. No? These are the kind of tasks you were given. So you could stay up 2-3 nights and accomplish. By the fourth day, I was not sure whether I am standing, whether I am, you know, we've been there, you know. Now imagine if I had to take those important decisions and I was in that condition. I would do demonetization only.
No, in our profession, the reporters are mostly in that condition. They are. Because our profession is such. And, the teams are not very big.
So which way, they should not become PMs, otherwise they will be.
Although reporting, I think the desk needs to be well rested. You can't edit a copy without having slept.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
but that's why we have 5 days a week.
Yeah. Or there is somebody, Sana, you can, as a corollary, you can report drunk, but you can never edit drunk. Always be sober when you're editing.
Oh, you have to.
Not to say that you should get drunk and report. But they are two different.
People tell me that, for IIT preparation, people drink and study, it registers more. How your brain...
Even
the old school editors, these stories about having old monk in the office and smoking, I can't understand how they were doing it. Like, they must be geniuses.
I don't see how you can be drinking and writing and smoking.
It used to happen during Vinod Mehta's time, having your vodka and coffee in the newsroom, but not so randomly. Sometimes it used to happen, but yes, we used to romanticize it.
Arre, sir, I've heard
but
these
when you're working,
colleges,
you can't.
I can't even smoke.
These engineering colleges guys claim that when they smoke up and study, it registers more. I was like,
this is bullshit.
I don't understand how all this works. Anyway,
it doesn't.
So, my recommendation for the any more, by the way, Manisha?
No, that's it.
So my recommendation for the week is this new podcast I've discovered, and I love it. I keep going back to it. This week they had one episode on the curse of the world's fastest growing economy, which is the Guyana economy, which is a country in South America, right up north. Borders Venezuela and I think Brazil, if I'm not wrong. So it has struck oil in 2014 or 2015, and ever since it struck oil, it's the world's fastest growing economy. Like Exxon is there, everybody. That entire, we are abandoning fossil fuels. And these guys also bloody chandi. Okay, Venezuela suddenly has said, we own so much land there. So they're building their army bases. And it's an interesting thing of, that joke, if there's oil there, America's interested. If there's oil here, this is what happens. It is playing out in real time. And I think it's a fascinating story of a country. And also, India is not the world's fastest growing economy.
Yes.
It is a rather worrying country, which I don't know which way it's going to go. So that's not in itself enough. On that note, I'd like to thank our producer, Aryan, and our sound recordist, Naresh. And thank you, Manisha and Raman sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And do you think we should say bye-bye with an Amme Subbalakshmi song or a Carnatic music song?
I only know...
Let's see how many of our audience can tell the difference. Here it goes.
For your subscription. You're changing the world by changing the way news is funded. For the smoothest News Laundry experience, download the News Laundry app. It is the best way to listen to our paywalled podcasts.
And you'll also get access to all free News Laundry shows. Keep us ad-free and subscriber-funded. Help us grow. Tell people who listen to you to pay to keep news free. Subscribe to News Laundry. Keep journalism independent.